Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and motivated to walk out the gospel as you hear this message from Pastor Charity Herman.
Worship affects everything about us, everything that involves who we are. But not only that, but tonight what I want to talk about specifically, I felt to call tactical worship. And I don't actually know that I've ever used the word tactical before I met my husband. If you know who my husband is, so my husband wears tactical pants pretty much every day of his life, which is the opposite of what I wear. And so there's that. But this message is not about him, but he did kind of inspire it a little bit. Actually, I was praying about what to do, and I found out all my plans were going down the drain. And I heard the word tactical, and so I asked him, I was like, does this mean what I think it means? I just want to make sure, you know. So we're going to talk about tactical worship tonight. But before I do, I just wanted to share something really fun. They posted it on our Facebook page, so hopefully it's okay to say out loud. You do know if you put something on social media, right? We have. No, she put it on our church page. I believe her name was Rachel, and I don't manage our social media, so the person that does sent me this. Is Rachel here? The girl, the woman that posted about on Facebook? No. Well, I'll talk about you anyway. Okay. So last week we were talking about personal worship, and I just thought this was really cool, so I thought I would share it real quick. She'd posted and said, this past Wednesday, Charity did a panel about personal worship time. I texted in the question about how to spend time with Jesus when you have toddlers. How many people have toddlers in here? Yeah, so you know what that means. So she's like, the following day, I decided to put on soaking music while my six-month-old napped. I told my three-year-old daughter I was going to spend time with Jesus and she could sit with me or she could play in her room. She decided to stay with me. At first, she kind of played, but then she got out a piece of paper and colored for about 30 minutes. She said she was writing down what God was telling her. She would take a few minutes and lift her hands and worship and then kept coloring. After about 45 minutes, and then she says in parentheses, I still can't believe she lasted that long. I can't either, girl. My goodness, I need some tips. Okay. She needs to talk tonight. We finished. I asked her what God was speaking to her on the picture that she wrote. And she said to me, he told me I can trust. Anyway, she said, I'm so blown away. Thanks for being real and for giving opportunity for breakthrough in our home. And I thought to myself, these nights may seem insignificant in some way, but how many of you at three were like hearing God say you could trust him? You know, if this is the kind of culture that we are cultivating, our city really can be a different place. When we are starting at that level, instead of having to wait till we're 20 and 30, 40, 50, 80, 90 to get it, that he can speak to us anytime. And so I just thought that was cool. So we talked the first week about worship as being aware. And so with this subject of tactical worship, I wanted to talk about being aware of the season that you are in. And how worship can assist in that season that you are in or in that place. And seasons call for specific things, right? It's kind of like the way you dress, unless you are my youngest daughter who has this like anointing for dressing the opposite of what the weather calls for. Swimsuits in the snow. It's literally a fight. You know, swimsuits and snow boots, or like she wants to wear a heavy sweater in the summer. I literally don't understand. But unless you're like that, then seasons call for specific things, right? When it's cold outside, we put our coats on, we put our boots on. When it's warm outside, we put our shorts on. If you have you know, the grace to do that, you have your swimsuit on, whatever it is. But we dress appropriately for the season. And I believe that worship can be used in your life, differently for different seasons. And so we're going to talk about some of those things tonight. And along with my tactical theme, I thought I'd gotten this quote right, but again, my husband, he was very useful with this sermon prep. But have you ever heard the phrase, never bring a knife, what? Look at us, we're in the Ozarks for sure. I saw an Ozark traffic jam this morning too. There was like a cow running down 160. I love this place. Okay. Never bring a knife to a gunfight. Although my husband did also tell me today, except unless he's really good with the knife, you know. You want to be careful with that. All right. So I feel like seasons of life and worship is the same thing. So right now we're actually just going to talk about if this thing is happening in your life, how worship, and remember we talked about at the very beginning, worship is what happened just here, okay? But worship is a lot of things. Worship is your whole life. Worship is the decisions you make. Worship is the way you treat your family, all those things. Worship is your mindset, okay? And so some of these things I'm going to be talking about tonight are music, and some of them are not, okay? But we're going to talk about that because true worship is your heart and your spirit rooted in the knowledge of who he is, and it's yielded to obedience to what he's revealed to you. We are responsible for revelation. So if you don't want to be responsible for what I'm about to say, you probably should go right now, right? When the Lord reveals something to you, then you are responsible for that revelation. And so that obedience to him, to what he's revealed, is our worship to him. Okay, so we're just going to dive right into these different things. This definitely is not an all-inclusive list, but it's some things that I've noticed over the course of my life when I'm dealing with this particular scenario or I'm in this particular season, this is how I come at it using worship. So the first one is when your mind is racing or you feel crazy. Has anybody ever felt crazy in here? Every mom raised their hands for sure. When you can't think straight, right? I've had seasons where it was like so many thoughts. All the thoughts are running through my head at one time, and I can't pick one because there's too many. Okay? Then it's time for me to get quiet, to have a quiet time. And this is an intentional quiet time. This is the tactic that I use in worship when that's the season that I'm in. The racing, the crazy, no clarity in my mind, okay? And I don't mean devotional time necessarily. I actually mean like quiet. Get still and be quiet. Psalm 46:10. We all know this, right? Be still and know that I am God. Be still. This is a time where we can come and we're not asking anything. We're not even necessarily expecting to hear anything. We're just getting quiet. And for some people, this act of stillness before the Lord is probably one of the biggest battles you will ever have. Because we have so many things going on all the time in our minds, all around us. I went to the gym this morning and I found myself, I was listening to a podcast. The little TV was on the treadmill, you know? So I couldn't hear that because I was listening to the podcast, but there was like that. And then they have all these TVs, you know, but on the big TVs. And all of a sudden I was like, this is insane. Like, cause I'm trying to listen to this podcast and I'm walking and I'm like kind of looking. I'm like, oh, what is on that screen? You know, it's like too much. And when we do this over and over and over after a while, hopefully to not that like big of a, that's a lot. I was overstimulated. I had to like, where's the button to turn it off? I almost tripped on the treadmill. Yikes. Anyway, so don't ever come to my gym, please. That's like my worst nightmare, that I'll see somebody I know. I actually have to say this. One time I did a Zumba class. Does anybody know what that is? Humiliation. And me and my friend were like doing it, and I'm sure we were that thing where you're like, you know, this is what I think I look like, and this is what you actually look like, you know? I don't remember how or why, how we found out, but we turned, and our, like, most of our band, like five guys from our band, like in worship band, were standing at the glass window. Ain't that right? They came to do the manly, like, weights, you know, and then they saw us in there, like, you know. I did not go back, actually. Okay, what was that about? Okay, yeah. Be still, the opposite of Zumba. All right, yikes. Okay, 1 Peter 5:7. I'm going to bring you back. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. In this still place, you might have to like dial yourself down. So if your brain is going and going and going, I literally one night I was sitting in my house and I was like, I'm throwing up this thing right now to you. I'm throwing it. Like I said it out loud. I did my hand like this. I'm like, I'm giving it to you. It's like too much already. I can't figure it out. I can't deal with it. I don't want to think about it anymore. I'm throwing it up to you. Cast your anxieties. Get rid of it. This is an action. And stillness, even though you're not doing anything, is an active thing to be still. And so I just want to encourage you in that. If you find yourself in that season of just chaos in your mind, make it a place. Make this a place of worship to be still. This is not even a place necessarily to have music on. It's just quiet. Quiet before him. Teach your soul how to be quiet in the Lord. All right, here's the next one. If you have a bad atmosphere in your home, this could be something that you're causing, or it could just be something that's happening. Sometimes, right, it just feels kind of funky in our house. But if you're noticing that, I'm gonna go through a couple examples here, just some things. But if you're feeling that in your home, unrest, like not peace, your kids are fighting like cats and dogs, like worse than they normally do, those kinds of things. This is not the time to blare your news as loud as you can blare it in the house, okay? And filling your home with bad news, okay? It's time to turn the bad news off. If the atmosphere in your home is not a good atmosphere. Does everybody know what I mean by the word atmosphere? Right? Okay. There's just some people carry their atmosphere with them. Right? And most of us do, actually. So that's something to keep in check, too. We don't spend our days watching things that are full of hopelessness. Okay. And unfortunately, the news is definitely one of those things right now. Everything's bad. Everything's awful. Everybody's going to prison. Everybody's being impeached. Everybody, the whole world, like it's all bad. Right? When your home feels yucky, this is the time you need to pay attention. This is worship. Worship is to pay attention to what the input is. What am I inputting right now? Is it making the situation worse? Is it helping? Something's not helping if the condition of your home is that way. I was just talking about this to our band on Sunday in our band meeting. Just the power, I was talking to them specifically of music, but honestly, anything that's coming into your ears, anything that's coming into your eye gate, there's such power in it. And the Lord created these things like that for a reason. There's such power in it. If you don't sing or play or any of that stuff, everyone has seen the effect of how powerful music is. If you watch a movie, right? the scary movie isn't so scary if it's not like dun 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 dun. Like, you know, if you mute it, you know, it could kind of be scary, but the music just jacks it up 1,000%. Music has power over your life. So if the atmosphere of your home is not good, check and see what's playing in your house. It's time to check your inputs. My mom, some of this stuff I shared at our women's conference back in September, but so just in case you've heard this part before, my mom would tell me the story of her brother was younger than her by 2 years, and he came down with leukemia. And my grandparents prayed and believed, and just they were just believing he's going to be healed, and it didn't go that way. And at the age of 14, he passed away. And my mom said it would literally, their home became this just dark. She's like, it was like a tomb. My grandfather would go to work every day, and she's my mom would sit in a rocking chair and just cry all day, every day. And anyway, so the Lord actually spoke to a friend of theirs that lived hours away. And he drove to their house and knocked on the door. And when he opened the door, he walked in and he said, "My God, how can you people even stand it in here?" And so long story short, he felt like the Lord gave him some strategy for them. And one of those things was that he's like, "You go get you some Holy Ghost." So I told you about the Holy Ghost the first week. Holy Ghost anointed music and play it in this house. And my mom said over doing that, and then also she started playing. That's a whole other story I won't get into now. But the Lord used anointed music to affect change in a family where my grandfather knew the Lord. He preached the word. He was a preacher, but he was like getting ready to kill himself. He couldn't take it anymore. And so it really turned it around. But if they in that state would have sat there in that, or played the real sad music, you know, or I don't know, pick a thing. Like I'm not going to get into naming the sad music tonight. But you know what I'm saying, right? If you feel sad, you could listen to a sad song and you'll get a little further down in it, like get in it real good, you know? Or you need to do something that's going to affect change. Okay. So that's one thing. One day in my house, my girls are just bananas, and I was like up to here with it. And we got in the shower, and my youngest daughter, who is always pointing me closer to Jesus, it was like everything I said to do, she would do the opposite, right? So I got in the shower with her. I'm fully clothed, and I'm trying to like help her without like getting sprayed. And it's like, I would say, you know, come to me. She would get as far away from me as she could, you know. And then I would say, don't do that to get me wet. And then she'd be like, fling, you know. Fling her hair, get me, so, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just, and I literally, my head was like, I'm getting ready to, like, pick her up and throw her up against the wall. Don't call anybody. I never did it. This is not one of those things when Jesus says, when you think it, you might as well have done it. I actually didn't do it. But I was sitting there, I'm like, what in the world do I do? And she just was crazy. I don't know what happened. Maybe Michael gave her too much sugar or something. Yeah. And like, you know that overwhelmed feeling? You're like, I'm getting ready to act like her because I don't know what else to do. Like, I just wanted to freak out, like, you know. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I've freaked out all day. I've pretty much screamed as much as a person can scream in a house in one day. And I was sick of it. Like, really, the atmosphere in our home was just ridiculous. And she was doing all this. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, I was just like, I have to do something different than I've been doing all day. And I like bent down and I looked there in the face and I was like, "You are strong in the Lord. You are strong in the Lord. You are full of wisdom and love." And she was like, and I was like, "That's right. Sing it with me." So I was like, "You are strong in the Lord." I'm washing her hair. But you know what? It was silly, but it changed everything. it changed everything. And we sing that song most nights in our house. And now it's kind of like she runs around, "You are strong in the Lord." You know, but it changed the atmosphere of that moment where it just, and I know it's silly, but like I was just at my wit's end. Try something different than what you're doing. That is worship. When we decide, I'm not going to like give into whatever that is, even if it's a 4-year-old or if it's your 45-year-old. You know what I'm saying? People that have these things that are pulling you into something, you have to be the one to affect change, and that is worship. All right. So we got your home taken care of. Okay. What do you do if you find yourself in a season of withdrawal or isolation? How many of you ever had a time where you're like, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk about anything. I don't want to do anything ever again. Are you going to be honest? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Now, I just want to say this before I say all the other stuff I'm about to say. There is sometimes a coming away the Lord asks us to do. Okay. Right? Like Jesus, even in the Bible, Jesus went away. He was like, he had had enough. And so he had to go be refreshed, right? So what I'm about to talk about is not that, okay? That is scriptural. That is all good. But you know the difference, right? Right? Because that isolation thing, it's like, oh, nobody cares about you. Might as well be all alone over here by yourself anyway. You know what I mean? And you're like, isolation. In Romans 12, Paul lists for quite a few scriptures what spiritual worship actually looks like. He gives us like a really, really good list of things. Okay. And I just want to read verse 1 here. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, your body, your whole body, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, your whole body. This is global worship. Okay? And if you read Romans 12, I won't read all of it tonight, but he goes through and he starts just listing, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. This is what living in the kingdom, this is what worship looks like. Okay? And I want to invite you this week to read through Romans 12. But the one thing that really sticks out to me about Romans 12 is we cannot live out or obey anything in Romans 12 by living in isolation. Go and read it. Because he's talking about sharing your stuff with people, bearing one another's burdens. And this is the part that I wanted to point out. Verse 15, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice, right? And weep with those who weep. If you are isolated, you can't do those things, right? I mean, you could do it with yourself, I guess. that's another talk. Okay. If you're not in community, there's no way to rejoice with a person that's happy. There's no way to sit and cry with a person that's mourning. This is something that we have to be. Worship means being a good friend. And practicing worship in community. Practicing worship by not making everything about you. And this isolation thing, because a lot of that usually is when you withdraw and you're isolated, really what it's just it's making you the center of the universe, right? Like, oh, poor you, everything's so terrible, you know, and all that stuff. And we've all dealt with that. This is not a like put down if you have. But the way to worship your way through that is to say, no, I need to be in community. I'm going to go. I'm going to get out of this thing that I am, and I'm going to put myself with people. I'm going to open myself up. because I can't fulfill Romans 12 if I'm keeping everything a secret of what's going on inside here. We have to be in community. The cool thing about the Romans 12 life and this style of worship is that you have an automatic support system that can rejoice with you and be happy with you when you've had the best day ever. And when the dark day comes, or when Jesus said, you know, in this world you will have trouble, when the day of trouble comes, they're already there. You don't have to like go into the mode of who am I going to find to tell this thing to? Because the day of trouble is really not the time to find your community. It needs to be established ahead of time. So really, this idea of community is worship. Romans 12, I encourage you to read that. All right, the next one I want to talk about is painful loss. Has anyone in the room ever gone through just something super painful? This is not one of the times that you need to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and like give yourself a good slap in the face and say, you're going to be happy. You know what I mean? There are times to do that. We're going to talk about that later. But when you've gone through something really painful, then you've had a loss in your life. Just like we just said before, there's a time to mourn that. There's a time to be in mourning, and the people around you, they need to understand that. Now, also going back to our community thing, you need people in your life that will know when that season needs to end for you and can pull you back into life, into a joy-filled life, okay? So there's a lot of, like, I don't want you to hear me, like, sweeping all this with a broad brush, but when we go through times of painful loss, the Bible makes it very clear there's a time for mourning. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And so worship in this season of painful loss, it looks really messy. A few years ago, I was on staff at another church, quite a few years ago now. I've been here a long time. Our pastor's wife got a call that her dad had retired, and he was bored of retirement and had went back to work. And decided he wanted to drive a cab. He thought it would be fun. And we got a call one night, pretty late in the night, and they had found him in his car in a cab. He was in a larger city, and his car had been set on fire by someone, and he had burned to death. And so we watched our pastor and his wife go through this. I mean, it's just total tragedy. Like, who can even imagine? And our staff gathered at the church, and we were just praying. They weren't there. We just felt like we needed to do something. You know, it was kind of one of those moments where you feel super helpless. And we got to the church, and I went to the piano, and I just sat there, and I tried to do something, and I just didn't know what to do. And I played a little bit. I started praying in the Spirit. And it was really one of those times where I felt like Romans 8:26, like, became real to me. Because I sat there and I was praying in the Spirit over this family who's going through this unbelievable tragedy. And all of a sudden, all that was coming out of me was, this deep place, there's a daughter who lost her dad, and there's nothing to do. There, you don't need to say anything. There's nothing you can say. In that moment, you have to mourn. That moment was worship. That was not the time for us to, like, You know what I'm saying? That would have been disrespectful and wrong. Worship for that season was just a groan of the Spirit that says, Holy Spirit, you have got, you're the only one that can make this like a place of peace for them. I don't even know what to pray. But in that moment, that was worship. That was the tactic that was required at the time. Some of you know, a couple weeks ago, I got the call that my dad had a stroke. And I'd done pretty good. I was at the hospital every day, you know, all day, just kind of being there. And I just felt kind of numb mostly. And just watching him struggle and people not understanding what he was trying to say. You know, if you've ever been through that, it's just super hard. And especially he's a pastor and all that. So talking is what he does. And we've had some health issues I won't get into with my mom also. And that had seemed to be doing better. But that the day before I came, I flew back home, she all of a sudden it was just, there was some stuff going on with her as well. And I left the hospital that night and I got in the truck and I'm like, this cannot be the way it goes down for my family. Like, I can't lose two of my parents in one day. And I just felt this like overwhelming, like yuck, you know, come into the truck and I just didn't know what to do. And as I'm driving down the highway, it's pouring down rain. I'm in a giant Dodge Ram that my brother-in-law, that's pointless information, but it just to give you a picture, I do not belong in a Dodge Ram. Anyway, so I'm driving, but it was like, you know, you feel like your chest is just going to cave in. Like, it just feels like too much. And literally, I'm like, thank God it was dark. I'm like, Jesus! Jesus, you have got to take this. I need you to touch my mom's brain. I need you to touch my dad's brain, like our family's brains. We need help. Jesus. But like a yell is all I could do because I felt like I was drowning. And that was worship in that moment because I was aware that he was in the truck with me when I felt like my dad's only 65. This is stuff that happens to 90-year-olds. Like, this is not supposed to happen to my dad. And I felt this just weight and all this heavy stuff. But worship for me in that moment was just to yell. He was there with me. There's no separation. There's no separation. There is not Jesus when I'm sitting here and then no Jesus when I'm in my truck driving and I feel like I'm having to really be an adult for real this time because my parents are both not well. It is worship always. This next one, I gotta hurry. Okay. Woo! All right. This next one, I'm good, by the way. Jesus is helping, and my dad's doing so good. I talked to him on the phone today. So, yeah. He's doing the countdown. He's like, 7 days, 7 days, I'm leaving today. I was like, all right. Okay, here's another scenario. Sometimes when you just feel a little bit funky and it's not a painful loss, you actually don't even know. Has anybody ever had that? Come on, people. You just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You have no reason why. You don't know what your problem is. You are just in it. Right? This is the time where we pull ourselves up. Okay? This is the time you tell your spirit to snap out of it. This is the time, okay? And this is where worship music can also help. So there's been a couple times this has happened in my house, and so I'm like, nope, not doing the whole day like this. I don't know what this thing is. I mean, I talk to myself. You guys should come over. It's a blast. nope, not today. We're not doing that today. So, and there's this one song. If you listen to music long enough, you'll get some songs where you're like, I know if this turns on, like that thing ain't staying around in my house because this song is going to kick it right out the door. And we have this song called Holy Ghost Party. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party because a whole... I turned that on, and me and my girls, we dance around our house until that thing is out of here. Like, I ain't got time for that. I haven't got time for it. So you need to be proactive. A tactic for you on those days is to find something that is going to get you out of your funk. That is worship. Amen? All right. Isaiah 61:3 says, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Another good one, Jeremy Riddle, our worship leader, he sang a spontaneous thing one night that was, I shake off all my heaviness and I put on the garment of praise. For you turn my mourning into dancing and you turn my night into day. And he just does it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got the words. Let's sing it. Just sing it with me real quick. I shake off all my heaviness and I put on the garment of praise. For you turn my mourning into dancing and you turn my night into day. One more time. I shake off all my heaviness and I put on the garment of praise. For you turn my mourning into dancing and you turn my night into today. I'm telling you, if you do this, that stuff cannot remain. It cannot. All right. If you find yourself focusing on the negative, do I have any negative Nellies in here? You don't have to admit it. Time to get rid of that. Yeah. I'm usually a pretty positive person. So when I find myself, have you ever like heard yourself like say something? You're like, ooh. That's your spirit trying to tell you something. In Psalm 42, David, I love David. He is just an emotional roller coaster. Seriously, like if you go through a race sometimes, you're like, dude, woo. We are the same way. Whatever. It's just funner to make fun of somebody else. Okay. Psalm 42. David is aware there's something not right with him, right? And so he's just kind of, you know, talking to himself. David, why are you downcast in your mind, in your will, your emotions? David, what is wrong with you? I love the way the Message says it. He says, I wonder, will I ever make it? You know? I love that the Lord calls him a man after his own heart, because then you're like, oh, on days when I feel like I'm not going to make it, it doesn't mean that like your heart is not towards the Lord, right? I'm on a diet of tears. Tears for breakfast, tears for supper. All day long, people knock at my door, pestering, where is this God of yours? These are the things I go over and over. And what he's meaning by these are the things. So he starts remembering, these are the things I go over and over, emptying out the pockets of my life. I love that. So what he has done is he's stored up the things that have happened in the Lord, and just in this poetic way, he stored them up in his pocket, right? And so what happens is when those time comes, when those thoughts, because we don't really, sometimes, I mean, you need to get new friends if people are actually saying, where is this God of yours to you? But really more, these kind of things come to as thoughts, right? to us when we're going through a difficult season, and it's kind of like, well, if the Lord was really, you know, dot, 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 then dot, dot, dot. You need to keep the good stuff of the Lord in your pockets so that when those days come, he says, I am emptying out the pockets of my life. And you see, he starts remembering, I was always at the head of the worshiping crowd, right out in front, leading them all, eager to arrive and worship, shouting praises, singing thanksgiving, celebrating all of us, God's feast. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you. So the things the Lord has done, every time he's come through for you, every little thing, even if it's the littlest thing, like I almost had a hangnail that one time, but then I didn't. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care how far down deep you have to get, but you keep those things in remembrance, because some of you are going to have a day where you're going to have to empty out your pockets. What's in there? In these seasons where we find ourselves being negative about everything, we worship through changing our attitude through remembrance and thanksgiving. The thing that's trying to question and cause torment for you and try to get you to see it half empty all the time, or always see the lack in something, always see the bad in something, it cannot remain. Just like the funk can't remain when we like sing the praises of God, this thing cannot remain when you remind yourself of the faithfulness of God. A few months ago, a group of us worship leaders were working on the last worship album that we did. And we were back in the room back here. We'd been meeting every week and we were praying just about the project. But not only that, just we were praying about things that were going on in each one of the leaders' lives. And there was just a lot of heavy stuff going on with each leader at that time. And so we've been praying and praying and praying. And we came in one day and it just seemed like everybody was, you know, David, I'm not going to make it. And we sat there. We were all kind of just, have you ever had like your sob fest, right? You know, somebody says something, and so somebody has to say their thing too, and it's just kind of like piling up in the room. And it wasn't like, it was all legit stuff. Don't get me wrong. But it kind of just felt heavy in there. And then all of a sudden, Mary Grace, who led worship tonight, whoop, whoop, awesome. She just kind of was like, you know what? Lord, Lord, I just want to thank you for that, like, couple of months ago, and we were, like, talking about this thing, and, like, you've actually done it. Because we had a couple of, like, there were some real specific prayer requests we'd been praying for that had actually come true, and we'd forgotten. We were back there just belly aching about what was going on right then. And I'm telling you, when she started listing out the things that we had seen already, the whole room changed. Like the feeling, the atmosphere in the room changed. Because that thing cannot stay when you remember the faithfulness of the Lord. It's why all throughout the Bible there is a thread of remembrance. There are things that we should not forget. There are stories that are like, don't forget. Like, these people forgot. So if you don't want to be like them, let's remember, right? The Israelites would have been in way better off shape if they would have remembered some stuff. So I just want to encourage you tonight, if you find yourself downcast in your mind, if your will is wanting to go the wrong way, if your emotions are all over the place and you just feel surrounded with negativity, put your hope in God and turn that thing around with thanksgiving and remembrance. I want us to all stand tonight.